What is the number one priority in your life? Christ demands first place.
And when you begin to build your life on that rock, with the cement of the faith in God that you have, then you have a real start.
We strive here at Financial Issues to help you put Christ into your portfolio.
Rapid Fire Friday, welcome back. And we've got a line open, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, we are continuing to get to as many calls as we possibly can. So we're going to get right back. Two phones. Let me go to Doug. Doug's calling us from Texas. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Dan. Great ministry. New listener the last couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
General question.
Welcome. Thanks.
I'm 62, no assets, but I'm able to take Social Security. General question, should I take the money and invest it through your system, keyword your systems, or keep it with the government getting me about 5.5 rate of internal returns and wait till I'm 70?
My position is, Doug, and it has been for a long, long time. If you can wait to 70, you should.
Okay.
You know, if you can. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people out there, they say, well, I can't wait till 70. I need the money. I get that. I understand it. That's fine. But if you can, both my wife and I are waiting. Everybody thinks I'm nuts. Well, your wife, you should take hers, and why don't you wait till? But, you know, it's all about income. And the difference, at least from my perspective, I'm not sure. I've not done the math for my wife's Social Security. But for mine, you know, it's 32% more if I wait. That's a third more. I hope I don't need any of it, but I might need every nickel too. But I do think that we've got to be more income minded. We are seeing people living so much longer, and I'll tell you that extra 1/3% could make a 1/3 could make a huge difference for a lot of people. It's, you know, can be $300-$400 more in some cases. So I always like to wait. I just, look, if you wait, it's a bird in the hand. You know what you have. It's not dependent upon markets going up, and you're not going to be worried about any volatility. You're not going to be worried about companies cutting dividends or companies doing different things. I mean, it's a sure thing. I would let it ride if you can do it to your 70.
Dan, appreciate the input and your counsel. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank you, Doug. I'm glad you found us. Sure, appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, God bless. And I know that's counter, folks, everything you hear. I mean, you talk to your accountant, they'll tell you to take it. You talk to financial people, they'll always tell you to take it. You know, it's counter to so many people and so many things that we hear that are all saying, listen, man, take it. You know, take it while you can. Social Security is not going anywhere. Just keep in mind, it's not called the third rail of politics for nothing. If Social Security goes anywhere, we're all going to be standing in the same soup line because we will have reached a point in the country from every other aspect that's going to keep us there. And your taking it early is not going to help you from standing in that soup line. That's how bad things are going to be. It's not going anywhere. Still going to be there. It may change for those people that are under 55. Right now, it may change slightly, but not a whole lot, I don't believe. And I think it's going to be there. And I know that people say, well, if you take it at 62, you're going to accumulate more from the government. Forget about accumulation. Just worry about income. Because all that extra accumulation's going to mean nothing if the market crashes. It's going to mean nothing if you need a little bit more money to pay your utility bills. It's not going to mean anything. So your income, because everything at some point in time, listen now, everything. At some point in time, for everybody, it has to be about consumption. We have to change our attitude from accumulation to consumption. And at some point in time, everybody's got to do that because consumption will always be happening. Accumulation at some point in time is going to stop in our lives. We're either going to stop working, whatever it might be, accumulation is going to stop. Consumption is always going to be there. And I'm going to be worried about being able to support my consumption when I'm 75 and 85 than I'm going to be otherwise. If the Lord calls me home when I'm 68 and I could have been collecting those years, trust me, I'm not going to care. I'm going to be in glory. I'll be happy. I'm not worried about, well, I'm not going to be up there thinking, man, I should have collected Social Security. I'm not going to care. I'm not worried about it, and you shouldn't be worried about it either. Just worry about supporting your consumption. All right, let me, by the way, we have lines open, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Richard. Richard calling us from Texas. Hey, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I bought some common stock from Zion Oil and Gas, and they say they're headquartered in Dallas and have an office in Tel Aviv. Do you know anything about them?
Yeah, I know a lot about them. I've talked about them a lot over the years. They, at one time, were on my buy list. They, for a long time, they were on my sell list a long time ago and never been back on my buy list. I don't really track them like I used to, because they've fallen back into they've fallen down to basically a penny stock at this point. So I don't really track them now like I used to. But yeah, I mean, you know, I know the company very well. I know the man that started the company. I was a big believer in the company. I still am hopeful that something good might happen, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult for something to happen. They're not very well capitalized at this point, and it takes a lot of money to drill. They just drilled a 16,000 foot, basically a dry well, and so that cost, you know, millions and millions of dollars. I don't think they have the capital to continue. My hope would be for them that they would get bought out, if somebody might be interested in buying them, either in an Israeli company or another company, but that could be difficult as well. So that's really all I can tell you without getting into, I mean, I would never recommend anybody buy them at this point, in all honesty, just based on my analytics, but you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that will. So, and for their sake, I guess I hope that's true. For the sake of my partners, I hope that isn't true, and those people that listen to the program. But we'll see.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir, and you have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
And happy late Fourth.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening, Richard. God bless.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
God bless you.
Let me go to Tim. By the way, we have lines open, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me go to David. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good. Good morning.
Just a pat on the back call for you. I read an article yesterday from CNBC, and it was talking about OPEC and Saudi Arabia wanting their market shares back from the U.S. shale oil, and you'd always talked about they're going to worry about it when they start losing market share. And yep. I just said, man, Dan talked about this for the longest time.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it is amazing, and I'm you know, I'm glad that I talked about it. Disappointed that a lot of others weren't talking about it. I really don't believe I'm much smarter than anybody. I just was surprised that nobody else took some recognition in that and could make some decisions based on that. But anyway, thank you for that,
David. I think you hit a lot of nails on the head on a lot of your predictions, and just blessings from God. And I appreciate it. And you have a blessed day.
Thank you, and I appreciate it too. And I praise God for those good calls. So thank you, David. God bless. Folks, we'll be right back. 610-363-1110.
Well, this is our last segment as we continue to compare socialism to capitalism. And let me just mention that we've been talking about several different topics. I'll try to recap a little bit here, but at the end of segment, this segment is finishing up just some talking points that are very, very important to a socialist economy and a capitalist society, that it is pricing, price controls, market demands, supply and demands, and those kinds of things. And yesterday, as we were finishing up this topic, we left off at a place where we were talking about the different forms of socialism, and there are several different forms. I talked about a master's thesis that I wrote about many years ago, and it was on, I'm going to say, radical fascism. It was on the economics of Mussolini. Mussolini was, some call him a socialism, he wasn't. Some call him communist, he wasn't. Some say, well, you know, he was just a dictator. He was, but he was worse than that. And he was really a radical fascist. But this takes all different forms. But I said yesterday that about 95% of socialist governments end up in a dictatorship. It's pretty easy to get to a dictatorship from socialism. Because remember, most of what you have is controlled by the government. And the prices are being set, the taxes are being levied, the productivity is being dictated about, the workload is being controlled, what is being made, how it's being made, when it's being made, what the demand is, what the supply will be, the opportunity to create gluts, oversupply, the opportunity to create shortages, and all of those things, and how all of those things work and look together to support the government and to support the society. It doesn't matter. Think about this for a moment. I'm going to give you a raise of 20%. That means if I give all my workers a raise of 20%, I'm taking 70% out in taxes anyway. They're going to get to keep maybe 30% more, but it is going to dramatically improve the treasure chest of the government or offset the losses of the government. So is it really a raise? Oh, it's a raise for both. It's a raise for the government, big time, and it's a raise for the person. And one would think, and the rationale behind socialism is, everybody's happy. Well, by the third or fourth generation, everybody's happy, because the third and fourth generation doesn't know any better and know any different. So there are different forms. There's socialism, as we're talking about here. There's communist regime and dictatorships. And, you know, I would say that, or both. So we've got a communist regime of China that is very much a dictatorship. We've got an entire government of, you know, one of the largest governments in the world that is controlled by a dictator or a very, very, very small group of people. And in the Western European countries, they have pursued and try to pursue some sort of pragmatic form of redistribution. In developing this, what they consider a pragmatic form of redistribution, their goal is 100% aiming for equality. And I think if you went to any socialist nation and you said to them, is everybody equal, they would laugh. There is not a lot of equality in some socialist nations than there are in any other nation in the world, including America. Now, there may be a closer degree of being equal, because the, you know, millionaires are only millionaires or not billionaires. And the poor are able to buy food and have a house. So just like the rich are able to do. But total equality is never going to be achieved in any society. We are equal in God's sight, and that should be good enough for us and all we should need. We know that's not all we need, and that's not the case, but we should be. On my last census form, where it asked for race, I wrote in human. My wife said, you're going to get in trouble for that. And I explained why I was doing it, and she did the same. I said, we might as well both get in trouble at the same time. But we're a member of the human race. Since when does the human race have to be distinguishable by the what color we are? And I'm going to do the same in the next census. If they ask the question then, we are a human race. We are all equal in God's eyes, and that's what matters. But in redistribution, they are trying to create not necessarily equality of individuals, but or quality of lifestyle or quality of opportunities in your ability to work and earn. But they're trying to create a quality of outcomes. For instance, there is an equality of outcomes in that we can all buy homes and we can all buy food. And we can all live. Some of us are living in a very tiny little house that we can barely move around in. Some of us are living in mansions, but we all have houses. We all have jobs. And we are all able to put food on the table and provide for our families. Not only that, we may all get an opportunity to go on vacation. We all may get paid vacation. Not only that, we all may get an opportunity to retire at age, whatever it might be, 60. Some forms of socialist societies attempt to use a progressive form of taxation in social spending to provide a minimal safety net for important public services that are run directly by the government. So they provide some spending for healthcare, but it's probably going to be a minimum amount of spending. They can control that healthcare so they have a sense of quality or of equality in the sense that everybody gets healthcare. Yeah, but the very rich get to get some healthcare maybe outside of what the government's going to pay for. The poor don't get that. But they don't look at it in those terms. They look at it as we can all get healthcare. And they have some sort of a safety net by providing healthcare, retirement services, and money. All of that being run directly by the government, not by some a billionaire owner of a company. Advantages in many advanced capitalist societies, similar to America, has considered government intervention in certain things. So we might intervene as a government to provide food stamps, to provide certain things. We might provide Medicaid so that people can all get health care if they qualify for Medicaid. We may provide those things. We may provide spending for infrastructure to make sure a bridge is safe and that education is somewhat equal, which it isn't, but we try. And the government would say that they do that. We have joined other capital societies by making an attempt to provide more help in the healthcare arena. But usually more help comes by way of hurting the people that they're trying to help. I'm not trying to just cut socialism and capitalism up in various different ways. You don't have to do it. It's easy for me to sit here and say capitalism has proven to be the best form of economic society in the world. Socialism, communism, dictatorships has proven just the opposite. Yet here we are as a capitalist society gravitating towards something that has never succeeded rather than keeping something that has always succeeded. It would make practical sense as a society if we were to gravitate things that we know that work. Let me ask you something. Do you want an investment that has never, ever proven to go up? Of an investment that has never returned any kind of revenue to you? Are you going to gravitate towards that investment and put all your money in that? Or are you going to gravitate in the investments that have past histories of success and working well? Do you want to give your money to failing companies and work for failing companies? Or do you want to give your money to companies that have proven to be successful in the way they do things? You can break down the differences just by using those examples. And when you talk to people about the differences, you need to talk to people about that. There's a proven system of success and prosperity to future generations and growing a government that is going to be strong and firm in the world. Or we can gravitate to a system that has proven that doesn't work. It's ludicrous, but it's out of ignorance. It's out of sheer ignorance of the real benefits of capitalism that has allowed people to just see one key word of socialism as it's outlined by those, some of those running for president. The word is free. And the word free overwhelms everything else. I got a very practical example. I can do a town hall meeting in a city and have 1,500 people. It's free. Everybody comes out. I can do a town hall meeting in the same city and charge $5 for people to come, and there's 300 people there. It's not that hard, folks. We just need to be able to lay out very simple differences. I hope this has been a good series for you. I hope it has helped you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. God bless. We'll see you on Monday. Let me just ask you all something as we think about this. Is there a satanic plot to destroy America? How about if I can talk about, if you could learn about and read about and understand the militant spirit in and around abortion, the rise in radical feminism, most importantly, the attempt to silence prophetic voices. One of the most wicked women in the Bible, Jezebel, who has led Israel into idolatry and immorality, is that same spirit leading us down the same path. Boy, I'll tell you, wouldn't you love to know about all those things? Wouldn't you love to just put those things in a biblical perspective as we look at the events that are going on in our world? Well, now you can do it. You'll see the book here I'm holding up, Jezebel's War with America. This is an amazing book. This is a book that you are going to have to read. You have to read it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. You've got to get this book because it is going to help you in so many ways in our faith. It's written by Dr. Michael Brown, and some of you will know Dr. Brown by his nationally syndicated radio program, Line of Fire, an amazing program we're hoping we have here on FISM.TV and radio. But it is an incredible book, folks. And I'm happy to have Dr. Brown with us. Dr. Brown, thank you for being with us. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, so glad to be with you. And let me tell you this, writing the book Jezebel's War with America was a real revelation for me. It's when the light went on and I suddenly saw all these different dots clearly connect together, that there is a spiritually rational explanation for some of the madness that's happening in our society. And yes, people make decisions, and yes, we are responsible for the decisions we make, and yet there is a spiritual war that we're fighting. And if we close our eyes to it, we will never see the change we so desperately want to see.
Well, the way this book goes through some of the things that we might not even think of from a spiritual war perspective, and this spirit of Jezebel is just, it was so eye-opening that tell everybody where they can get the book, first of all.
Yeah, they should all go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. The book comes out on August 6th, so it's 2 weeks from now. But when they pre-order, so they go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com and there are links where they can pre-order online. When they get the book, they will immediately get the first three chapters sent to them in PDF to start reading. Then they'll get the ebook free when it comes out. Another ebook of mine called Playing with Holy Fire, they'll get that free. A mini ebook, they'll get free. A couple of videos free, over $50 of free material. I don't know what the publisher was thinking, but they...
I think the publisher, I lost audio. I think the publisher was thinking, I guess they were thinking not about the well-being of your ministry financially, but what an incredible, Jezebel's War with America.com. It's a no-brainer, folks. You got to go there. Go there today. I got an idea for all of us listening, the millions of people listening to this right now. Let's shut down. Let's see if we can shut the website down. We like doing that here. And everybody go to Jezebel's War,
There's no comma there.
Jezebel's War with America.com. Jezebel's War with America.com. Tell the people listening some of the things that is going to be practical to them that they can share and use in the defending of our faith in church.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look in the Bible, we see this woman, Jezebel, an incredibly wicked woman. She's associated with idolatry, with murder, with silencing the prophets. You could look at her as a pioneer radical feminist. She emasculated men. She's associated with sexual immorality, with witchcraft. Then you look at America as a whole. So I'll make this personal in a moment. But you look at America as a whole and you think, wait, we're dealing with the same symptoms today. The same demonic forces that operated through Jezebel are operating again today, from the idolatrous turning away from God, the sexual seduction through porn.
Oh, boy. We must be having some bandwidth issues. Oh, there you go. He's going. Go ahead.
The emasculating of men, the silencing of the prophetic voices and things like that, the intimidating by fear. We have this happening clearly on a national level. And what we need to realize is that this affects us where we live. That when we recognize the spiritual warfare we're in, we can push back against the intimidation of fear. We have to realize there is a murderous baby-killing spirit. It's not just a political movement. It's a murderous spirit. We've got to combat it on that level. And so many folks listening to you and watching you, they have lost their spiritual authority through intimidation, through this Jezebelic attack. They are subject to fear. They don't have the ability to stand and fight. They've got to realize what's going on. The second to last chapter of the book, I deal with how to defeat Jezebel in your personal life, and then how we can deal with Jezebel on a national level. But this is a seduction. This is a destruction. I can speak to the men and say that this spirit emasculates, that this spirit robs you of your authority, of a healthy biblical manhood. Everything today is toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. We've gone from father knows best to Homer Simpson, from the father being wise and godly leader to now the father being a jerk and an idiot. The prophetic voices are afraid to speak out for fear of consequences. And then women have lost their womanhood. The war on gender turns men into women and women into men. And then with the rise of porn, the pressure on women, the sexualization of women, the objectifying of women, this is all stuff we're dealing with. And our kids are dealing with this in everyday life, in the schools, in the homes. We must combat this head on. We must recognize the spiritual forces we're dealing with. Then we can see victory. Then we can see transformation.
Jezebel's War with America.com. Go there right now, Jezebel's War with America.com, and get this book. You're going to get the first three paragraphs immediately, or I'm sorry, chapters immediately. You're going to get the whole book in PDF form. As it comes out, it's due to come out August 6th. Folks, it's something that you're going to share with so many people. What an ideal thing for small group study to go through this book. Tell us how this Jezebel's War is impacting the church.
Jezebel's War is impacting the church first in that the spirit of seduction is there. So the church is really battling with pornography. Probably most people in our churches are struggling. Even leaders are struggling. That's one thing, absolutely directly. And then this intimidation by fear. Come on. So many Christian leaders won't address controversial issues. So many Christians are afraid to stand up for what's right today because they don't want to be unfriended on Facebook, or they don't want to get marked negatively on their job, or kids at school don't want to be rejected. So this intimidation by fear, the silencing of the prophetic voice, it is all over. And then we've lost our way with understanding biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. The confusion has entered the church as well. And look, our kids are dealing with the same confusion, the same war on gender, the same homosexual activism. Our kids are coming home confused. They're getting influenced by social media. And not only that, when you've got the rise of witchcraft, reportedly there are more witches now in America than Presbyterians. We document it in detail in the book. When you've got this going on, this is spiritual war. There are demonic powers. My focus is on Jesus, not on the devil. But the Bible also says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we are wrestling with spiritual forces in heavenly places. It is demonic. It must be revealed. And we've got to overcome the spirit of fear with faith, with confidence. And so many Christians, they are shells of who they used to be. They have gone into spiritual hiding because of the intimidation of Jezebel. It's time that we stand up and push back.
Mm. Michael, this book unveils this satanic plot, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And you know what happened with me? I started to piece things together, and then I began to notice even more with President Trump being like a Jehu-type figure in the Bible. He does good, but there's collateral damage. So if you love Trump, if you hate Trump, you read the book all the same. It's the same overall message. But with him in the White House now, the radical feminists have come out of the woodwork shouting their abortions. And you even have witches cursing the president, but not just cursing the president. They're hexing male patriarchy. I mean, this is some of the dynamic of what's going on. As this started to piece together for me, I could not stop writing. I was almost writing around the clock. It was just like my hands were on fire. Got to get this message out.
Wow. Jezebel's War with America.com. Jezebel's War with America.com. You need to go there now. Dr. Brown, Michael, I'm going to have you back in a couple
we'll
of weeks.
Do it again.
I'd love to continue this. Thank you.
The The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
You know, it's great to have a guest like that every once in a while that really understands both sides of it. And, you know, it's so I don't know. I guess it isn't. I was going to say confusing. There's such logic in this whole situation in and around immigration and illegals and borders. It's so logical. And it can only mean when we have this left that cannot see the logic, it can only mean that there is an agenda far different than the reality of just people crossing the borders illegally. There has to be an agenda that goes way beyond the logic of this is not good for a nation. Now, you and I know what the logic is. These are not illegal immigrants. They are voters. They are voters. Illegal voters, but that doesn't matter. Voters. They are people that are changing congressional districts, maybe. That's what this is about. It's about putting on a face of socialism and we're welcoming everybody, not just those that are wanting more opportunity, but anybody for whatever they want, whatever their agenda is. And if you fail to see the logic that no borders means no country, if you fail to see that, if you can't see the financial logic that we are $21 trillion in debt and can't afford this continued debt without massive tax increases, if anybody voting can't see that, then maybe that's the problem. But the left is solely dependent upon the ill-informed people. See, without the ill-informed, they cannot win an election. And this will be adding to the ranks of the ill-informed. And all these people have to be informed about is you either vote for us or lose your benefits. What's it going to be? Take an hour out of your day, one day, to vote or lose your benefits. That's all the ill-informed need to understand, and they are going to vote for this. But what we have now is an entire Hispanic community that is one of the largest groups, segments of our population of growing Trump supporters. Because this is a population group that is here for prosperity. They're here for opportunity. They're here for the same reason that my ancestors came here, for more opportunity for their families. And they understand that they have no opportunity if they don't have a president that has a pro-growth agenda to create that opportunity. And they are becoming quickly the fastest growing voter bloc for President Trump. Could that maybe happen as well with all these illegal immigrants? What would that do? I believe that the Democratic Party, as we knew it, is gone. It's gone forever. I mean, it's gone. I mean, when you see when you listen to what is going on, it's gone forever. But that doesn't mean it's not going to get reelected because they're depending upon the ill-informed. And I'll say this in a negative way. But the millennials themselves, the protesters that can't articulate why they're protesting. Come on. That's what we have. Let me tell you, I was in Washington, D.C. at this summit. Christians United for Israel, it's an amazing organization. And I'm so privileged to be a part of it. And I want all of you to be a part of it. CUFI.org. Check them out. You need to get involved. It went from 2013, 400 people, to 7 million, more than 7 million people. The power that is being gained of evangelical Christians, not only for the defense of Israel and to defeat anti-Semitism, but so many other issues that are important. And let me tell you, as I sound critical maybe of ill-informed millennials, you know what the most encouraging thing that my wife and I talked about on the way home that we saw, the most encouraging thing? How about 650 college students there cheering, representing over 300 colleges and universities with their CUFI chapter in their school. Over, I don't know, a couple hundred high school students there cheering. There were 7,000 people there. But to see the young people that were there was so encouraging. So there are plenty becoming informed. But nonetheless, it's the ill-informed that the left is operating with and on. All right, let me go to phones, go to Patty in Ohio. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I tried to call last week, but there was a lot of problems, so I just decided to call this week instead.
Okay.
Mike, I have two questions. One is we have an annuity that matured, and we just have it sitting in our savings account right now, and we kind of wanted your direction on maybe what we should do with that.
So, Patty, you already have accounts, I know, right? And
yes.
And they're tracking with the asset allocation models, I assume, right?
Yes, yes.
Is this money in this annuity, is it a, did it come, is it a qualified annuity, or is it IRA money?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
So, and you have, do you have an investment account? I know you have.
Yes.
Okay. So, is that where it's sitting in the money market?
No, not right now. It's
okay.
Just sitting in a high yield savings account.
And is it in, are you guys income minded in your investment strategy or still growth?
Well, we're kind of half and half.
Okay.
We do need the income. We are retired and, you know, we're looking for strong income, but we do like to look at the growth possibility also.
Okay. So I would take a look at building on the portion of your portfolio that is income. I would rather see you build upon the growth in income, those things that are in blue, and some of those things, the industrial stocks and the utility stocks primarily, that do have growth opportunity, will be volatile both up and down, but will likely be great growth stocks that do produce an okay income as well. And I would like you to focus on that. I think that would be I would really like you to focus on that. I wouldn't want you to focus strictly on growth, not at this point in our economy. And I'm thinking about 3 years out right now. So I would say I would want you to sit tight a little bit longer. You can get it ready to start investing. You can have it in your investment account, in that money market account, or leave it in your high yield and transfer it out later. But I would want you probably by October to be starting to wean in to some of these income producing stocks. And maybe over the next 4 or 5 months through October to maybe, February, March, to have it all invested in some good income stocks. I think there's opportunities that are going to come about in September and October. with some of the good solid companies that I have on the list maybe dipping down a little bit. Now, having said that, I'm going to talk about this at the conference call today, but there's really no reason that I can find based on a number of issues that I'll talk about as to why the markets can't continue to go up from here. I know it almost seems impossible based on the first 6 months of the year, but there's really no reason why it couldn't happen. But I would rather play it very conservative and start to gradually look at some of those great solid growth and income stocks that may have taken a dip.
Okay. Okay, we can do that. So just kind of let it sit until October and then start putting it into some of these other income stocks or growth stocks.
Yes. Okay. And you know, maybe it could be September, but I would wait it out a little bit longer. And like I said, October is probably good. Would be a good time to start unless something dramatic changes. And what I mean by dramatic changing, what would change that, Patty, would be a fairly significant downtick in the indices, in the markets, where things are dropping. That would be a change. That might allow you to expedite a little bit, go a little faster and starting to get some of that invested.
Okay.
All right.
But I'll hold my next question to another day.
All right. Thank you, Patty. I sure appreciate you. God bless.
No problem.
All right.
Bye. God bless you too.
Thank you. Folks, I know some of you got to leave us. We've got a great interview I've already talked about, The Long Goodbye. What an amazing documentary. We have the producers, directors here. I'm going to talk to them about that amazing documentary and get to more of your questions. We'll be back after this, but if you gotta leave us, have a great day. God bless.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.